यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अस्तोतर शतशी श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद ठाकुर श्री महाराज की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रांतराज श्रीमद भागवतम की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 टेक्स 48 49 एंड 50 टेक्स 50 इज ऑन द बोर्ड just recite 48 and 49 then we'll recite 50 together we'll recite 50 payastanabhyam sushrava netrajay salilei shivaihi नेत्रजय सलिले शिवैः तदा विशिच्या मानाभ्याम् वीर वीर सुयो सुवो मुहुः पयस्तनभ्याम् सुश्राव नेत्रजय सलिलै शिवैः तदाभिषिच्यमानाभ्याम् वीर वीर सुवो मुहुः पयस्तानाभ्याम् सुश्राव नेत्रजय सलिलै शिवैः तदाभिषिच्यमानाभ्याम् वीर वीर सुवो मुहु Matajis. So we'll read the word to word translation. Payaha, milk, stanabhyam, from both breasts, susrava, began to flow down, netra jai, from the eyes, salilehi, by tears, shivehi, auspicious, tada, at that time, अभिषिच्यमानाभ्याम बीइंग वेटेड वीर माय डियर विदुर वीर सुवह ऑफ द मदर हु गेव बर्थ टू अ हीरो मुहु कॉन्स्टेंटली. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We'll just read the translation of the earlier two verses. The two brothers Uttama and Dhruva Maharaj also exchanged their tears. They were overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love and affection, and when they embraced one another, the hairs on their bodies stood up. Suniti, the real mother of Dhruva Maharaj, embraced the tender body of her son, who was dearer to her than her own life, and thus forgot all material grief, for she was very pleased. My dear Vidur, Suniti, the mother of a great hero, her tears, together with the milk flowing from her breasts, wet the whole body of Dhruva Maharaj. This was a great auspicious sign. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो वी विल डिस्कस द पर्पोट. So we are reading this section of Srimad Bhagavatam of when Dhruva Maharaj, after having performed austerities and after Narad Muni has spoken to Uttanapad about the austerities of Dhruva Maharaj, now Dhruva Maharaj returns home and he is very lovingly received by his family members. So the verse that we had a kind of like a break because of Yatra. So the verse that happened before this in our earlier discussion was how when Dhruva Maharaj came into the palace, came into the courtyard of his father, his stepmother Suruchi embraced him and even blessed him. She said that, "My dear boy, may you live a long life." She was the one, if we remember, to actually curse Dhruva Maharaj, to say that, "May you quickly die, so that may, if you want to become king, you should be born from my womb again," meaning, die now. But now she's actually telling him, you live a long life. So in that purport, the next verse purport, text 47, Prabhupada writes how, for a devotee, he attracts all kinds of blessings. He is never inimical to anyone. So he gives the examples of the six Goswamis, dhira, adhira. Even for, to both kinds of people who were gentlemen and not very gentleman-like people, they were all very attractive to a devotee. So a devotee attracts the honor or the respect or the blessings, just as by gravity water flows down. So a devotee is very grave, like gravity he attracts. So that was the earlier verse. So Sukadev Goswami first discussed the reaction of Suruchi, because she was the most inimical person. Generally you would think that the first conflict would happen would be between Suruchi and Dhruva, but it was not like that. Then he discussed in text 48, he discussed about the reaction between Uttama and Dhruva. So the second, not villain, but the second antagonistic character was Uttama. Because Uttama also, you know, when he was sitting on the lap of the father, now one brother is on the lap. And then when Dhruva Maharaj comes to sit on the other lap, father pushes one brother and leaves the other brother. Okay, fine. Father may not have said anything, but shouldn't there be, you know, fraternity? Brother, shouldn't he not say something? There was no mention of Uttama speaking. He kept quiet. This further enraged Dhruva. So in this verse, it shows that here Uttama also came and both of them hugged and exchanged tears and embraced one another. So there's a loving exchange and a change even in Uttama. And finally, it's mentioned how Suniti, the real mother of Dhruva, who in the beginning told Dhruv Maharaj never to harbor any malice or envy towards anyone, she now comes and she is very pleased with her own son. In this verse today, which is in discussion on the board, it is mentioned how Payah Stana Bhyam Shushrava, the milk from the breast of Suniti, the real mother of Dhruva, flowed down, wetting the boy, Dhruv Maharaj. Netra Jai Salile Shivaihi, the auspicious tears from her eyes also flowed down and wetted the boy. And therefore, here, Veera, Veera Suvo Muhu. Here, Sukadeva Goswami, Maitreya Rishi is calling Vidura as your hero. Oh hero, see another hero, Veera Suva. Just see, oh hero, Vidur, there's another hero also here. Because this scene actually shows the very success or the conclusion of Dhruva Maharaj's conquest. Now finally he went out on a mission, trying to achieve something which is most impossible to achieve. And now he has returned and he is being glorified. Aja beta, chalo, sab ho gaya. Now he has come into his mother's embrace and the mother is welcoming him. So we'll see some verses, some words in this purport and we'll discuss. Prabhupada writes in this purport, when deities are installed, they are washed with milk, yogurt and water. And this ceremony is called Abhishek. 2 days ago we had Giriraj Abhishek. In this verse, it has been especially mentioned that the tears which flowed down from the eyes of Suniti were all auspicious. Shivaihi. The auspiciousness of the Abhishek ceremony performed by his beloved mother. So here Prabhupada is relating that the hugging and the crying of Suniti, right, her tears as well as her breast milk, this was like a Abhishek ceremony to Dhruva Maharaj. So when deities are welcomed, we do Abhishekam. When every, the yearly festival of deities, we do Abhishek. This is welcoming them, glorifying them, honoring them. So here, by Suniti hugging Dhruva and showering him with tears and breast milk, this was an Abhishekam, Patta Abhishekam. Because this is also done when kings are coronated. So Prabhupada writes in the next line, this was an indication that a very near future, Dhruv Maharaj would be installed on the throne of his father. The mother already pehle se did Abhishek for him. Now you will become king. This is what you wanted. So in this way, Prabhupada is writing. Then Prabhupada continues, he says, the history of Dhruv Maharaj leaving home was that his father refused to give him a place on his lap. And Dhruv Maharaj determined that unless he got the throne of his father, would not come back. Now, this Abhishek ceremony performed by his beloved mother was an indication that he would occupy the throne of Maharaj Uttanapad. So, very beautifully actually Prabhupada links this hugging with Abhishekam, right, of the mother, with the installation of Dhruv Maharaj as future king. Then the second paragraph of this purport, we will discuss more about this today. It is also significant in this verse that Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, is described as Veerasu. She is called as Veerasu, a mother who produced a great hero. Okay. So, in the third canto purports, Prabhupada actually writes the importance of motherhood. So in one section, Prabhupada mentions how great sons are born of great mothers. So it's a, he stresses on the importance of motherhood. A few verses later, actually, then he stresses on the importance of fatherhood also. So he's balanced. That how a mother being very filled with character is able to bring up a child who is also filled with character. So reading that purport alone, some people may think, "Arey, it's all ladies' responsibility." Few verses later, Prabhupada will talk about how it's also the responsibility of the man, father. Right? So definitely great parents bring great fruits, great children. We often give this analogy that if the fruit is very sweet, the tree also must be very good, isn't it? So here it's mentioned, he is called a Veerasu, a mother who produced a great hero. Prabhupada continues, there are many heroes in this world, but there is no comparison to Dhruv Maharaj, who was not only a heroic emperor on this planet, but also a great devotee. Okay, he was an emperor and a king. In fact, in 11th canto, there's a purport which is mentioned. What are the qualities of a king? He said that a king should be very chivalrous. A king should also be a devotee. It's like an injunction. king is very chivalrous, the king should also be a devotee. So a perfect combination in Dhruva Maharaj. Prabhupada continues. He says that Dhruva Maharaj is a devotee and a king and a very chivalrous person. So everyone reading Bhagavatam will feel that is Dhruva Maharaj. He is a king, he is chivalrous and he is a great devotee. Oh, mere se kuch sambandh nahi hai, I can't connect. Prabhupada writes the next line. A devotee is also a great hero. Eh? This looks like I'm a devotee aspirant, sadhaka. So this is something speaking to me. A devotee is also a great hero. Why? He says, because he conquers or tries to conquer the influence of Maya. A devotee is also a great hero because he tries to conquer the influence of Maya. We will discuss a bit on this. In the 19th chapter of the 11th canto, Uddhava asks a series of questions to Krishna. He asks, what is this, what is that? Kim this, kim that, he asks. So then in one part he asks, what is nature? Kim swabhavam? And what is truth? So in that verse, Krishna replies in the 19th chapter, swabhava vijayate shaurim. What is actual heroism? Yes, sorry. What is actually heroism? Is it real heroism is one who actually conquers the material conditioning of trying to enjoy this material world. So swabhava here means the material swabhava. So Prabhupada translates, the material swabhava of trying to enjoy this material world. So therefore, a devotee who tries to give up this tendency, which appears to be very inherent, of trying to enjoy the material world is called a hero. Many times ago, we have heard this analogy. People tell, Krishna consciousness is like a war. You are declaring war on Maya. Wow. Probably in the initial days, bahut acha lagega, isn't it? Sounds good. Declaring war on Maya. So fighting against Maya. Who fights against Maya? Heroes. Great soldiers. They fight against Maya. So this is very inspirational. One time I heard a class from a devotee. He was saying, this is nice. But for him, this was scary. Most of us, when we heard this, we felt very inspired. Fight, the great fight against Maya. Come, let us join the Sankirtan army of Lord Chaitanya. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And we can conquer the influence of Maya. Beat Maya. Push Maya away. But one devotee was sharing, when he heard this, he was very afraid by this. I said, why? He said, Kab tak ladai karenge? Till when will we fight? Just hearing this is actually making my mind paralyzed. I'm feeling very tired. How long will we fight? For how long will we fight? Is it? You can fight one day, 2 days. Krishna, after 18 battles, he ran away, Jarasandh also. So how long will people fight? Isn't it not very tiring? So actually, this analogy is not about the struggle of warfare. And Prabhupada gives this analogy that Krishna consciousness is like a war, it's like a fight. It is not about the struggle of warfare. Warfare is a very struggling endeavor. Right? So many people die, so many people get hurt, so much conflict, so much complication. It is not about the struggle, but it's about the intensity. It's about the absorption. In warfare, a person is very absorbed that who am I, where am I placed, where the enemy is placed. What are the enemies? Now, who are the enemies? So it's a day-by-day meditation, not to focus on the struggle. So difficult, I'm pushing. Because bhakti by nature is natural, swabhavik. Bhakti is susukam kartum avyayam. It is supposed to be very enjoyable. Supposed to be, no, it is. Bhakti is supposed to, or it is, very enjoyable. But a person feels kuch, what they say, sangarsh. There's a sangarsh. There's a karshati, there's a friction with our practice and what appears to be natural. Why? It's because we focus, or we think of, that, you know, bhakti is something external. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sadhya kabu nai. It is not something to be purchased outside. Realize that is very natural. So, the focus of this war analogy should be on the absorption, on the intensity. If not, why every day do we do the same prayers? If this was not the focus, if the intensity of the absorption or the remembrance is not the focus, why every day we do the same prayers? Same Mangalarti, same chanting, same Shikshastakam, why? If it is not but a constant prayer, constant reminder who we are, where we are placed, what we are supposed to do. Actually, it's a great thing that when we sleep at night, we forget. It's a great thing. So the next morning, we can always strive to remember. It's a good thing that we forget. So early morning, it's not, oh, this is another Tuesday, tomorrow is another Wednesday. No, every day is a new day. Every day is a new day, a new fresh start. Okay, for me to again remember, for me to again, recollect the armies and reassess my situation. So the beauty about bhakti is taking one day at a time. The beauty of bhakti is taking one day at a time. Why? Sadhakas are not sure about the next day. We are not sure about the next day. So the beauty of bhakti is taking one day at a time. Therefore, recently we visited Kusum Sarovar. At least I visited with Madhav Gopal, who was giving a beautiful class then, Kusum Sarovar. So then I was remembering that just beside also Uddhava's place is there. That's the place he wrote the Narada Bhakti Sutras. And if you read Narada Bhakti Sutras, you expect something esoteric. No, it is perfectly designed chapters. What is bhakti? How do you get bhakti? Power of bhakti. Okay, how to stay focused in all these kind of things. So that is basically showing how day to day we should become focused. So the war analogy, declaring a war on Maya, devotees become a hero, is not a scary analogy. It is actually an analogy to show absorption and intensity, how we should be very careful in bhakti. Prabhupada continues. So now Dhruva is a hero, devotees can also or should also be heroes. Then Prabhupada continues last line of this purport. When Lord Chaitanya inquired from Ramananda Rai as who to the most famous man in this world, Ramananda Rai replied that anyone who is known as a great devotee of the Lord is to be accepted as most famous. So the devotee is the most famous, the most glorified person just by being a devotee. All of us here have some experience. Maybe devotees, not devotees, whatever. But just by wearing the cloth or the tilak or the kanti of a devotee, we also have some drops about this fame, isn't it? When we are walking around, someone may come give respect. And then we only know that it's because of the external and the cloth, or probably the tilak. Aaj to acha laga isliye. Some people come to give respect. We know about the externals. So just see, whoever they are, a person respects us just for who we show to be. Right, so that gives us a remembrance that what we should be then. So great devotees are respected for their character. Like this verse talks about the heroism of Dhruva Maharaj. Prabhupada extends it to the heroism of devotees in general. So I thought today we'd like to discuss about the heroism of Krishna. Krishna being a Nayak, Krishna being the real hero. Right. Today is also Kartik Purnima, very auspicious day. And there's many events that happen on Kartik Purnima, actually. So the whole story of Govardhan began on Amavasya. So Chakratipat writes in the purport, when Krishna, in a purport in Bhagavatam, when Krishna was 7 years old, on Amavasya day, that was the day that he presented Karma Mimamsa philosophy. He spoke Karma Mimamsa to his father on Amavasya, which was Diwali, isn't it? Diwali day, Karma Mimamsa. And then he said, the next day, Pratipat, was the day when the Govardhan Puja happened. So we also did Govardhan Puja on the next day. Of course, many one yatra. And after that, on Dvitiya, so on Amavasya, Diwali day, was when Karma Mimamsa was spoken. On Pratipat, the first day, was when Govardhan Puja was held. On Dvitiya, the second day, was when Krishna celebrated Bhau Beej. Brother and sister honoring each other. So Chakratipat says that Sukadev Goswami did not mention this in the Bhagavatam, but it happened. Bhau Beej ceremony. It happened, he said. He did not mention it, but it's to be understood that it took place. Right? So Krishna celebrated this ceremony, Bhau Beej. He calls it as Bratr Dvitiya. Bratr Dvitiya. And then on the third day till the 7 days means nine, Navami. From Tritiya till Navami was when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill. So after that, after Navami on the 10th day, Dashami, was when everyone discussed this incident. So one whole day went in discussing. And then on Ekadasi, which recently happened on the 8th of this month, Kartik Ekadasi, was when Surabhi performed the Abhishek of Krishna, and Surabhi Kund and all that came. And then Dvadasi day, okay, after that Ekadasi on 9th, oh, we observe 9th, Dvadasi day, 9th of November, Dvadasi day was when all the Gopas and the cowherd people had actually darshan of this, sorry, no, on Dvadasi day was actually when Krishna saved Nanda Maharaj from Varuna Loka. So he also, that a chapter comes in the 28th chapter of 10th canto, when Nanda Maharaj took a fast on Ekadasi, so that was Kartik Ekadasi that he fasted on, and then he wanted to break that fast, so he entered the lake Brahma Hrida, and then he took a bath, and then Varuna came and catch him, right? So on the next day, Krishna saved him, and then on the Dvadash, sorry, on the Purnima day, which is today, that was the day where Krishna gave darshan of Brahma Loka or Goloka to all the cowherd men. This is also in chapter 28 of the 10th canto. So that's very interesting. Other interesting facts about Kartik Purnima is that this is the day where all the Mathuravasis, the Vrajavasis, they end their parikram. So the Vrajavasis, they start their parikram on Ekadasi, Bhishma Panchak, and they end their parikram today of the entire Vrajmandal. They're doing parikram. Today in Jagannath Puri is also a day where Lord Jagannath is offered Sunavesh or Raja Rajeshwara Vesh. So he wears this golden Vesh 5 times in a year. This is one of the times. It's a very auspicious day. A lot of puja is given for him. Shastras also mentioned that this day, Kartik Purnima, is the day where Lord Shiva killed Tripurasur demon. Today we observe in our calendar as the appearance day of Nimbarka Acharya also, Nimbarka Ditya. And today is the last day of Chaturmas. So some devotees are happy. Those dosa idli lovers, they are happy. So today is the last day of Chaturmas, and the end of Kartik Vrata. And also another thing is that today is also, Purnima is also another occasion where Krishna performs Ras Leela. So Krishna had one Ras Leela in Sharad. It's known as Sharadiya Rasa Leela, which was last month, during that Purnima, Sharad Purnima. And at the end, Kartik Purnima is also another time where Krishna had Ras Leela. So while we were taking some devotees, some people on Yatra in Vrindavan, the constant question was, where is Krishna's Ras Leela? Show me where? Where is that famous Nidivan that we have heard of? So I said, come Radha Damodar temple. No. Where is that place of that Rasa Stali? Constant question. So then we try to avoid by saying that this and that. We don't have yogyata to enter Nidivan and this and that. We don't want to go into all that. But the fact of the matter is that there are many Rasthalis, as we see even in our Vrindavan forest. There are many Rasasthalis. And Krishna performs Rasalila many times on many occasions. So people always want to see something gross, something physical, exact sight. There's some scratch in the ground, something like that. They want to see. Right? But for Ras Leela is a beautiful pastime, how Krishna reciprocates. So Acharya has mentioned at the age of 7, 8 years old, when Krishna performed this Ras Leela, Sharadiya as well as today's Ras Leela. Also another occasion about Kartik Purnima, which is very related to us, is the day when Lord Chaitanya enters Vrindavan. It's also the day when our Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was installed. Which anniversary? 3 years. Okay, Lord Chaitanya has come to give us his blessings. So like this, Kartik Purnima has many significance. This purport speaking about heroism, we'll just discuss quickly about how Krishna is the Nayak. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that Krishna is always the Nayak in his pastimes. If we see any pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, 3 prominent things come up. Krishna's chivalry, not only 10th canto, entire Bhagavatam. Krishna's chivalry, Krishna's amazing valor, we see that. Second thing we see about Krishna's mercy, how Krishna is so merciful on so many occasions. And the third thing we see that Krishna's sweetness. So chivalry, mercy and sweetness. These 3 things come very prominently. Okay, another aspect is also Krishna's neutrality, Krishna's detachment. Again and again this is mentioned, how Krishna is so detached, everything happens, creation happens, he is detached. He's detached from creation, he's detached from Lakshmi, he's detached from everything, he's so detached. So these 4 attributes of chivalry, mercy, sweetness and his somewhat neutrality seems to be very contradictory. How can these four characteristics appear in one person? So Madhagopal Pu know what I'm going to discuss. So how can these four characteristics appear in one person? It seems very contradictory. You find a person who is very neutral, very sober. Okay? Anything you speak to him, he takes two minutes to reply. He doesn't reply. He thinks about it. Sober person. Right? We know. Huh? I won't take names. We know such people. Anything you say, he just keeps quiet. Thinks about it. Then he replies. A very sober person. Then we find a person who's very merciful. He's a bit active. Isn't it? He's talking to people. He's like to talk to people. He's very... Oh, he hasn't taken prasadam? Oh! You know, he might do something for him. Very merciful person. Very concerned. Someone is very sweet. He may speak to people and sweetly approach people. His dealings are very sweet. Right? He may not be the person you would go to for emergency because he's just sweet. That's it. Isn't it? The daya person you may go to for emergencies, he'll immediately, oh, yes, yes, yes. The chivalrous person, you may not go to him for emergency. You may not go into him for some, you know, sharing of heart. Right? And if you go to him with some problem, you know that he might think about it. He may not give a reply. So we find these characteristics in different individuals to some degree. But hardly we find these characteristics in full in one person. So this is possible. An act of devotion, chapter 23, discuss this. Krishna's four personalities or Krishna's Nayaka, his valor, right, in four roles. So the first role is called Dhirodhata. Dhirodhata is seen of a person who is naturally very grave, very gentle, very forgiving, very merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. So this is a person who is very grave and forgiving. Okay, Dhirodhata. So the example is given when Krishna forgived Indra in Govardhan Lila. The Indra came asking for forgiveness. Krishna says, okay, no problem. He's a very magnanimous character, merciful character. A comparison is given so that we can understand is of Lord Ramachandra. Dhirodhata is like Lord Ramachandra. Grave, merciful still. Right? Second characteristics of Krishna is Dhira Lalita. Now this is a total contrast. Dhira Lalita is someone who is very flamboyant, who is someone who is very funny, who is youthful, who is expert in joking, who is free from all anxieties, right? So Dhira Lalita is mentioned also that someone who subjugates his lovers, like that. So this is seen an example in Krishna's dealings with Radharani, how he's always disturbing Radharani. So this is his sweetness, how he deals with that. Okay? And an example sometimes is given, a comparison sometimes is given, is of Cupid, Kamadev. So Kamadev is known to be the very flamboyant one, the Dhira Lalita type. So this is already a contrast. Someone who's Dhirodhata, like Ramachandra, you don't see him to act like Kamadev. But Krishna acts in both capacities. Right? So Dhirodhata is dealings, right, with Indra during Govardhan Lila, example of Ramachandra. And Dhira Lalita is dealings with gopis, his funny, sweet nature that Krishna has, and it's compared to Cupid. Third characteristics, now two extremes are spoken, now the third extreme is spoken, Dhira Prashanta. Dhira Prashanta is one who is very peaceful, forbearing, tolerant, and very considerate, and he is very obliging. Okay, okay. Whatever you say, huh? Okay. Quiet, simple, doesn't speak back. So, this character of Krishna is seen with his dealings in the Pandavas. So entire Mahabharata, Krishna took a secondary role, Krishna took a supportive role. Whatever the Pandavas did, Krishna was always there, but Krishna hardly spoke, Krishna hardly openly, actively interfered in anything. Of course, he acted Shanti, Dut, this and that, but everything was very passive. Krishna played a very passive role, Dhira Prashanta. Anything that the Pandavas would take action, so total anxiety, total action was on Pandava side. They are the ones who are facing all the anxiety and action. Krishna was just always there. That's it. So this was seen in his character as Dhira Prashanta. So we see again, one person is very merciful like Ramachandra, very magnanimous. Another person is very flamboyant, very sweet. That is Dhira Lalita. And third person is totally neutral, Dhira Prashanta. But all exist in Krishna. Third, Now, sorry, the fourth. Now we see a very aggressive character of Krishna. He is called as Dhirodhata. Dhirodhata is Krishna as a person who is very envious, who may seem to be very envious, very proud, very easily get angered, restless. Such a person is another extreme. So Shastras give a nice pastime, Nectar of Devotion. They say that once when Krishna was writing a letter to Kalayavan, nowadays if people, two people fight, they exchange emails, right? You are like this, I am like this, you are like this. They send emails or they may send WhatsApp messages to each other. Send. So those days when people used to, you know, Krishna and Kalayavan, they would have a tiff. He would write a letter. So in Krishna's letter to Kalayavan, he told him that, oh, you call me a frog? Because Kalayavan said, Krishna, you're like a frog. No. You are like a frog. He said, Krishna calls Kalayavan a sinful frog. So you are a frog. Where should a frog go? You should go into some dark well. Later, Kalayavan will enter a cave. You should go to some dark well, and there the snake, the black snake called Krishna, would come and eat you. Hey, Kalayavan, be careful. Just by my glance, I can burn this entire material universe. Like this, he gives some threat. Okay, he writes to him in a letter. So this seems to be very proud. A person says, hey, careful, huh? With one, this thing I can destroy. Okay, a proud person. So Krishna is showing this nature. Now this is a bit contradictory, you know. One moment he's very sweet with the gopis, always being very sweet. Another moment he's very forgiving as Dhira, Dhata. Another moment he's very neutral. And now the fourth moment he's very active, challenging people, fighting people, warning people, aggressive. So Shastras mentioned that Krishna, Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki. So this is only possible in the character of Krishna being the perfect hero, right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Jaiva Dharma that how one has to accept all this contradictory, so apparently contradictory natures, that is only possible in Krishna. He quotes so many references in Shastra, Kurma Puran, Mahavaraha Puran, saying that how there is no dosh in Krishna's character. A person who appears very rough and proud, aggressive, someone may say that, he requires more chanting. Shant hona chahiye thoda. He's not very good. A person who's dhira prashanta, who thinks so much, who doesn't act, such people can also be a little irritating. You know, you come to him with some reason, some action, Prabhuji, aisa aisa ho gaya. Re baba, kuch to karo. We feel a little difficult. And a person who's always jovial, joking, flamboyant, the person is never serious only. It's difficult to come to him with issues. So we find dosh in all these characters. And if all these characters in Krishna, he should be parama dosha. But no, Shastra says, tatapi dosha parame naeva harya katanchana. Not even a moment can you say that Krishna has any dosha. In fact, it is mentioned, sarve sarva guna purnaha. Sarve sarva guna purnaha. Sarva dosha vivarjitaha. He is full of gun, he is full of good qualities. Sarva dosha vivarjita. He is devoid of any faults. They say that sometimes Krishna may exhibit the faults of illusion. He is becoming illusion, confused. We see in Damodara Leela also, he is confused, mother is chasing. He may have lethargy, mistake, lust, restlessness, whatever. But these are actually the manifestations of his positive qualities, one should take it. Right? Because Krishna doesn't have any dosha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, besides these four characteristics of his heroism, Krishna also has many other, he possesses eight other characteristics, which shows his manliness as the supreme enjoyer, Parama Purusha. So what are the eight extra qualities of Krishna's manliness, Parama Purusha? He says, Shobha. Shobha means that he is always filled with beauty and grace. So manliness also means grace, gentleman, we say, na? Somebody say, man means aggression. No, man means gentleman. So Krishna Shobha means Krishna is a great gentleman. Vilasa, the male quality, Purusha characteristic is fond of enjoying. Vilasa, second characteristic. Madhurya, Madhurya means he is filled with elegant sweetness. Right? There's a saying in college circles. You can know a character of a man by the way he treats a waiter. Why? Because generally when a man and a lady go for some honeymooning, isn't it? Let's say they go for dinner. So he may speak very sweetly to the girl, you know, trying to impress her. But when a waiter comes and he bring a, eh, kya kar rahe? Bole kya hona? He might show. So they say you can know a character of a man by the way he speaks to a waiter. That is his true character that comes out. So Krishna has madhurya, elegant sweetness to whomever he deals with. Fourth quality, mangalya. He has, mangalya means auspiciousness. Mangalya, it's mentioned. Mangalya means he has auspicious dependability. You can depend on him. Mangalya means you can depend on him. This is a character of a manliness, man, purushatattva. Purushatattva means you can depend on someone, isn't it? Someone, if you have any issue, problem, a wife is always dependent on a husband, children are always dependent on a father. So, the special characteristic of Krishna is you can always depend on him. When any problems in life, where you go? Vrindavan Bihari, isn't it? So, Mangalya. Fifth quality, Sthairya. Quality of manliness, Purushatattva, is that he is very patient and steadfast. Patient and consistent. Very patient and determined. Patient and steadfast. Okay, Sthairya. Fifth quality, oh, no, fifth, sixth quality, Teja. He has power, influence. That we can understand. Person is very showing this manliness, Virata, that he is very, has Teja. Seventh quality, he is also Lalita. That such a manly person is also very playful and charming dresser. He dresses very nicely. Lalita. Eighth quality of a person who, of the Purushatattva, is that he is Audarya, very magnanimous. So despite having all these things, he is very Audarya. Audarya Chaitanya Prabhu is in the altar. So he's very Audarya. He's actually very magnanimous. So that magnanimous and dependability, power, sweetness, and fond of enjoying, these are all natures of the Purushatattva. So like this, he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, I'll conclude with this. Sri Krishna is the super excellent Nayak, super excellent hero, the super excellent personality. Although Krishna is supremely independent of everyone, out of his causeless mercy, he sometimes relies on Garga for religious instructions. So Krishna is supreme. Having all these qualities, he doesn't need to rely on anyone. But still, having all these qualities, being the supreme hero, he sometimes becomes dependent on Garga Muni for spiritual instructions. He sometimes depends on Yuyudhana for military tactics. He sometimes depends on Satyaki, other Kshatriyas and all. And sometimes he depends on Uddhava for good counsel. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he exhibits his versatility. Versatility. He's very versatile as a Nayak, as a hero. So the great thing about a hero is that he can, not only that he has all his qualities, but he's able to balance all qualities. At the same time, having everything and same time being dependent. It's very difficult. Someone who's achieved a very top position, it's very difficult for him to play a very humble role. Right? You don't expect temple presidents to do very menial job. It's very tough. Right? A person may also just consciously do it to keep oneself humble. I'm temple president, let me do some simple job, you know. I'll become a bit humbled. Consciously, one may do it, but it is very tough to actually have that in one's innate character, innate nature, to having such a big position at the same time to be very humble also. So, this is only possible in the character of Krishna. So, we like to end here and we'll just repeat. We discussed in today's verse about how Dhruva Maharaj, having conquered all his desires, returned to the palace, and his mother Suniti did the Abhishekam ceremony for him through her tears and her breast milk, thus indicating that Dhruva Maharaj, now your desires are fulfilled, you will become the future king. Then we saw how great mothers and great fathers actually are responsible for giving birth to great heroes. Prabhupada extends it, not only is Dhruva Maharaj a hero, but every devotee is a hero. So we discuss how a devotee is a hero. Uddhava, or Krishna mentions to Uddhava
that one who can conquer one's material conditioning of enjoying, swabhava vijayate shaurim, he is a hero. If one strives to conquer one's material conditioning of trying to enjoy this material world, he is actually a hero. Then we discussed that this strive of conquering Maya may seem to be very painful, seem to be very difficult. No. Actually, the analogy is given to stress about the intensity and the absorption that one should have in this fight against Maya. Because our grace is that we are not fighting alone, isn't it? We have so many soldiers and together, that togetherness. So that fight against Maya is not about the sangarsh, not about that karshati, because bhakti is actually very natural. So how do we actually understand this? If we actually study the basic tattvas of bhakti, like in Narad Bhakti Sutra, how it is mentioned, how bhakti comes from, where bhakti grows, and what is the bhakti dependent upon, how we actually maintain our bhakti, all these kind of things, we will understand how bhakti is actually very natural. Then we discussed about the glories of Kartik Purnima. We saw many, many events happen on this way. And lastly, we discussed how Krishna is the real Nayak, the real hero. So we saw about Dhruv Maharaj as well as other devotees, how they can be heroic, heroism. And we saw finally that Krishna is the real hero, discussing four qualities of Krishna, which Rupa Goswami presents in Nectar of Devotion. Dhiro Data, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prashanta, and Dhiro Dhata. So these are the four qualities. And the end we saw that despite Data and Dhata. Okay, anyways. So despite this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur adds eight other qualities to the Purusha Tattva, to the manliness, nature of Krishna. And finally he says that despite having all this, Krishna is also very dependent on others. That is his supreme mercy, he said. This shows his excellent qualities. So with that, we'd like to end. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki.